I know we say it often. I really, really enjoy singing with you. Sometimes I stop singing and just listen to you sing. That's a good thing. There's not many things in my life that I really enjoy that I'm really bad at. But singing in church is one of those things. So I apologize to the Thompsons this morning who got the seats right in front of me this morning that had to listen, but I really do enjoy singing with you. That's a desperate song. That's just, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. That's a desperate song. I think of all the really good songs of our faith, so many of them come out of pain. So many of them come out of sorrow. So many of them come out of just profound hardship and suffering and agony. That song is kind of from there. There's a desperation in that song. And maybe that's why we like them so much. Because we all find ourselves at different seasons of life where we've got pain. And we've got sorrow and we've got agony. And sometimes that passes, that season passes, and sometimes it doesn't pass. It just keeps on going on. Life goes on. And there's joy. But those pains, those sorrows, those heartaches, they just keep going on. And our hearts and our souls resonate with desperate songs. And sometimes all we got is, Lord, I need you. Lord, I have nowhere else to go. I need you. Every moment of every hour, you're showing me in this season, it's hard. Lord, I really, really, really need you. And that's where we are in this series. This is Habakkuk. This is Act 2. And this is the story of Habakkuk. We opened up Habakkuk. I told you, I'm kind of getting good friends with Habakkuk. And Habakkuk walked through some really, really, really difficult times. And last week, it was how long, O Lord? He's crying out. We've asked, how long, O Lord? And Habakkuk is asking that question. Do you care? Where are you? Our people are just in idolatry and unrighteousness and ungodliness. He's not talking about his life. It's not his sorrow and pain, but he's burdened for his people. They have forsaken God. They've forsaken his way. And he's just asking, Lord, how long? Do you care? And last week, God responded to Habakkuk's cry. Yes, I do care. And actually, real soon, I'm working right now the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. I'm raising them up, and they're going to come, and they're going to be my instrument of judgment, correction, reproof to the people of Judah. They're going to level Jerusalem, and they're going to kill most, and the rest they're going to take into captivity. Well, that's not good news. That didn't help Habakkuk out tremendously. And now he's even more perplexed. Now he's getting to the place of, well Lord, I know you're holy, and I know you're good, and I know you're pure, and I know you're righteous. But how can a holy God use a nation far more evil than we are to be an instrument of your judgment? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't even sound fair. That seems unjust. He's got a theological problem. That seems unfair. That seems unjust. And that's where we left Habakkuk last week. And I kind of lingered into that second chapter and took us to about the fourth verse. But Habakkuk cried out how long? And God responded and told him that it's going to be fierce. It's going to be wicked. It's going to be awful. And the Chaldeans are coming. And then he says, is this fair and is this just? And then God responds to Habakkuk. And that's where we are in chapter 2 of Habakkuk. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Habakkuk, let's turn to Habakkuk this morning. And let's consider this text. Show of hands. Anybody read the text before they got here this morning? Just be bold. You know, I oversee spiritual. Nobody's going to do anything. A couple of you read this text. I've had a couple of you that read this text and they're praying for me right now. Because they're like, I don't know what you're going to say this morning, but I didn't see a whole lot of good news in there. This is an awkward text. It's just kind of, as I read this, it's just, wow, all right. Stay with me. I think there's some good news here for us this morning. So Habakkuk chapter 2, God responding, the Lord answered me, is our first words this morning. Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning in the second verse, the Word of God says this, and the Lord answered me. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It surely will come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he has never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own all peoples. Shall not all these take up their taunt against him with scoffing and riddles for him and say, woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. For how long? And loads himself with pledges. Will not your debtors suddenly arise, and those awake who will make you tremble? Then you will be spoil for them, because you have plundered many nations, and all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. For the blood of man and violence to the earth, to the cities, and all who dwell in them. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be safe from the reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You have forfeited your life, for the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the woodwork respond. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Behold, it is not from the Lord of hosts that peoples labor merely for fire and nations weary themselves for nothing. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink. You pour out your wrath and make them drunk in order to gaze at their nakedness. You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. Drink yourselves and show your uncircumcision. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around you, and utter shame will come upon your glory. The violence done in Lebanon will overwhelm you, as will the destruction of the beasts that terrified them. For the blood of man and violence to the earth, to the cities and all who dwell in them. What profit is an idol when its maker has shaped it? A metal image, a teacher of lies. For its maker trusts in his own creation when he makes speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, awake, to a silent stone, arise. Can this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in it, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. May God, because God's going to need to do it, may God give us understanding of this, his word. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that all of your word is your word. Lord, we find ourselves in the second chapter of Habakkuk trying to make sense of things. So, Lord, I pray that you would give me clarity, that you would give us understanding, that you would bring great encouragement. It didn't seem like there's much encouragement there. There is great encouragement if we would just take the next few moments and consider what it is you want to say to your people. So, guide my words. Soften our hearts, bring fresh encouragement and strength and endurance in the midst of the trials that we face. And Lord, we will be quick to give you all the thanks and praise. God, and direct our time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A difficult text. You got to mine. You got to dig deep. And I just have some thoughts that I want to share. The first thing I want to share is, first of all, there's this big, great, humongous reality that he starts out with. Can't ignore it this morning. I got to start there. I think that's kind of a big centerpiece, and I can't stay there because I got to move on to three other big realities that we're going to talk about. So I got a main point that I'm going to say at the beginning, and I've got three points that I also want to make. And the first point is this. The first thing I think that we have to see at the very beginning of the text is this. There are two kinds of people in the world. Habakkuk needs to know that there are two kinds of people in the world. We get distracted. We think that there are many kinds of people in the world. There are not. And he reminds Habakkuk that there are just two kinds of people in the world. Look there at verse 4 with me this morning. He says, "Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith." He goes on, verse 6, "Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he never has enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own all peoples." This is a picture that God needs Habakkuk to see. This is the picture he wants him to write this down. This is true. This is the vision that he gives to Habakkuk. There's only two kinds of people in the world. Did you see it there? He's describing the Babylonians. He's describing that awesome, fierce nation that's going to come and take over Judah. And he's describing, he uses the word puffed up. These puffed up people, we would think of pride. And then he goes on in verse 6 and he talks just about how evil and how wicked and how unrighteous and how greedy these people are. Pride. Jason prayed. What is at the root of pride? Well, it's kind of this self-righteousness, this self-rule, this self-reign. It's all about me. Babylon personified that. And the world personifies that. Proud, puffed up, self-righteous people depending on themselves. They're ungodly, they're unrighteous, they're full of pride. And then there's people who walk by faith. And this text says that the righteous shall live by his faith. That God is not finished from Genesis 3 on. God was not finished, but in his mercy and in his kindness and in his activity, he has preserved for himself a people. There are a people, and these people are right before him. They're righteous, and they live by their faith. There are only two kinds of people in the world. There is the self-righteous, puffed up, proud, and there are those that are righteous and they live by their faith. Now, we all know that we are all descendants of the first Adam. We all know what happened in the garden. We all know what the issue was in the garden, and this was the issue. The issue for Adam and Eve is self-rule. God, you gave us everything. God, it's perfect. It's just the way that you all said. And one thing he said not to do, they chose to do. They chose self-rule. They chose self-reign. It was pride, deceived by Satan, but pride that entered. And we know that we're all descendants of Adam. We're all born into that reality. We're all puffed up, proud sinners by nature and by choice. But this text says that there's the righteous who live by their faith. This phrase would be used in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul would use, "The righteous shall live by faith," in Romans chapter 1. He would use it in Galatians, and the writer to the Hebrews would also use this. This was a devastating thought. This was a devastating doctrine teaching to Martin Luther. The righteous shall live by their faith. Romans 1. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is power unto salvation for all who would believe. First to the Jew and then to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by his faith." That was devastating to Luther. In many ways for Luther, just, "I'm not righteous. I've tried it. I've done everything I do." He lived a brutal life trying to live a life that was righteous before God. and he was ruined. He couldn't do it. And then God finally opened his eyes to the beauty of this teaching. The righteous shall live by their faith. That there is a righteousness, a perfect righteousness that can be had through faith. It's a righteousness not of Martin Luther and not of us, but it's an alien righteousness, a foreign righteousness that Christ has provided for us. That through faith in God, a gift of God, by the mercies of God, there would be people declared righteous before God simply through faith in Jesus. The righteous shall live by their faith. Romans chapter 4 would say Abraham believed in God. Jesus hasn't come. God's full plan of redemption hasn't been laid out. But Abraham believed in God, and God counted that as righteousness. He simply believed. And we come to this, and there's just two kinds of people. There are the proud, there are the puffed up, there are the unrighteous, and there are the righteous that live by faith. I can't fully unpack that this morning, but that's the amazing work of the gospel. In the gospel, we see the righteousness of God revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and all we can do is believe on him, and that righteousness is ours, imputed to us simply through faith. Now, I got to share that this morning and remind you this morning. There are only two kinds of people in the world. This is an encouragement to Habakkuk. It's an encouragement to us, because when we walk through times of suffering, that's when it's the hardest time to have faith. And oftentimes, our sufferings, our sorrows, our pains, and our hardships can be a great opposition to faith. And we miss it. Our sorrows and our sufferings and our hardships are great opportunities for our faith. God is graciously stripping away all the things that would keep us from just, Lord, I need you. And often it's suffering and it's pain that brings us to the place where we recognize what we have and what we've needed all along. I just need you. And to have you is enough. And brothers and sisters, I lean here because oftentimes we pray away the very things that God is trying to do in our lives to bring us to the place where it is all of him and nothing of us. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that's the most beautiful place in the world. That when all of your pride and all of your self-reliance and all of your self-righteousness gets peeled away and you got nothing but God, that's a beautiful place to be. And sometimes God lovingly uses suffering. He uses pain. He uses hardship. He takes us through times that they don't end. And in the midst of that, he's doing a beautiful thing, because there's only two kinds of people. And in the end of your life, the only thing will matter, faith. Did God mercifully, and he will sustain and he will persevere your faith to the end. That's a good reminder for Habakkuk, and that's a good reminder for us. Let's not just try to get through it. Let's not pray it away. Let's see God's sovereign and God's good hand in what he is doing as the righteous walk and live by their faith, oftentimes through very difficult trials. That's big. I got to walk away from that. And I'm going to enter into three more big ones, and I'm going to do them in my time. You ready? Three things I think we have to see from this text. Three glories. Encouragement to Habakkuk and an encouragement to us. The justice of God. A great encouragement. That's his answer to Habakkuk's suffering. My justice. The second thing is the purpose of God. Very briefly, I'm going to look at the purposes of God. We need to be reminded in our suffering of the purposes of God. The last thing is the character of God. We need to be reminded of the character of God. They're big topics, but they're in this text, and I'm just going to talk about them briefly. So begin with this. Start with me here, the justice of God. This text from verse 6 to verse 19 is God bringing justice on the Babylonians. The word is woe. Woe. Woe to you, Babylonians. Woe to you, Chaldeans. Habakkuk, write this down. It's going to happen. It might not happen. It's not going to happen in your lifetime. I'm going to take care of the Chaldeans. I'm going to take care of the Babylonians. That justice will be served. And he pronounces five woes on the Babylonians. And that was the bulk of our test. If I had to lift up a single verse, look at verse 16 with me. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around you, and utter shame will come upon your glory. God's omnipotent right hand, and it's a right hand of wrath. It's coming to the Chaldeans. And I have to tell you, that's a measure of encouragement. Just to know God will make things right. Justice is, very simply, things as they ought to be. We think of the scales of justice. Things as they ought to be. I know what it looks like. You don't know all the things I'm doing, Habakkuk. I'll take care of the Babylonians in my time. And that's what he's saying here. Woe, judgment, justice is coming to the Babylonians. Now, we love justice. We do. We all love justice. We're hardwired for justice. We were created in the image of God, and God is a just God. We love justice. I was in my yard a couple Saturdays back. It was a beautiful Saturday. And I'm in my front yard. I live on South Broadway and Pittman, North Main Street in Glassboro. And I'm in my yard. I don't know what I was doing. I don't do anything but cut my weeds. So I don't know what I was doing in my lawn. But I'm in my yard, and it's beautiful, and everybody's out. It's a beautiful day. People are walking their dogs. People are riding their bikes. I'm seeing some neighbors. People are moving around. People are going out exercising. It's just a good day. Everybody's out and about. I'm in my yard, and I'm working, and I hear it. And everybody heard it. I could hear cars accelerating up my street. And this wasn't normal acceleration, 25 miles an hour on my street. I could hear cars accelerating, and this wasn't normal acceleration. I immediately stopped whatever I was doing, and I come out, and I see this one car's in the one lane. He's easily 55, 60 miles an hour in the one lane. There are two cars trying to pass him over a double yellow. They're passing him over a double yellow. This guy's speeding up to not let them pass. They're yelling at one another. Don't know if it's road rage. Don't know if they were friends. Don't know what was going on. Two cars are going 70 miles an hour. Easy. Voom. Right past my house. Past a car who's trying to speed up. They're yelling at one another. The two cars eventually pass the guy doing 50 or 60. They're doing 75. They go by. I am at complete rest and peace in my yard. Instantaneously, I am just fuming. What kind of idiots are you are going to kill? There's people all over. In an instant, I went from nothing to absolutely, I am just losing my mind. Boom. It stopped. I was at complete rest. No problems at all. Police car. It never happens. It happened. The next thing I see is a police car. I'm good. Somebody's getting a big ticket. Somebody could lose their license. Somebody, justice is going to be, I saw them. They got all the way down to Shields' house. They pulled in at Crafton, I think, is when the police car finally got them, down at Crafton. Justice. Some form of justice is going to be done. And it just, okay. There's a sense that all is well. Yeah, they were driving out of control. Something bad could have happened. But justice will be served in this situation. And there's a sense of things as they ought to be. And there's a sense where it's a comfort to our hearts and to our souls to see justice done. We lived through 9/11 and something that was just big in 9/11. At some point, bringing the people who were responsible for this. We can't bring the lives back. We can't bring the trade towers back. We can't do any of that. But serving justice just brings a sense of a comfort and a peace as we continue to walk through a storm. To know that there's justice for those. And somehow, Jason, you prayed so well. Somehow, God is just aloof. He's got his arms folded. He's sitting back somewhere, and he's just letting the earth spin. He's got no real regard for what's going on whatsoever. Look at all the injustice, Lord. Don't you care? Aren't you even involved? It's not fair. And our God is intimately involved in all of his creation. I read this morning, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. We gather this morning to worship God, our warrior. He metes out justice in his time and in his way. Who's the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's hosts. How big's Babylon's army up to heaven's hosts? I think grasshoppers. They're nothing. They're next to nothing in meaning. It's that the king's heart is a stream of water in the hands of the Almighty. And our God turns it wherever he wills. Our God is meting out justice. And there's a word in Revelation 18 for Babylon's final destiny. We know how human history ends. And it's spelled out in Revelation 18 of what Babylon represents. All the, you can't go to Babylon. All right, can't go to vacation in Babylon. It's buried in sand underneath Turkey somewhere. God did justice. But even at the end of time in Revelation 18, he spends a chapter talking about he's going to pour his judgment out on Babylon. And that brings great hope to the saints. All nations like Babylon. Oh, you may not see it in your lifetime. Justice will be served. All wrongs will be righted. Listen to what we're going to do for all of eternity. Because God is going to just and he is going to judge Babylon. Revelation 19. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voices of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants." We are going to sing that praise forever. Why? Because our God is just, and we will rejoice in his just judgments that he will bring. This was a good word for Habakkuk, and this can be a very good word for us. Jesus came in John 5, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I'm working," Jesus says. Listen, Isaiah 64, 4, "From of old one has heard or perceived by ear. No eye has seen a God beside you who acts for those who wait for him." He calls us to trust. Just a confident trust. By his grace, a confident trust. He will work for those who wait for him. Habakkuk, I'm asking you to wait. I'm asking you to trust. I'm working. I really am. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says. It's not you to fix it. It's not your problem to fix. We labor for justice. It's not your problem to fix. Justice is a great encouragement when we walk through trials. God brought justice to the Babylonians. And it was an encouragement to Habakkuk. It's an encouragement to us. Two quick ones to complete. God's justice. Secondly, we get great comfort from the character of God. Nope, passed over a page. It's the purposes of God. So the purposes of God. I'm going to move through it quick. Word of God says, it's just amazing. It's sitting there in the midst of all the stuff that I was reading, and you just tuned out at some point, because I tuned out at some point. And then all of a sudden, verse 14 gets read. And verse 14 just says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And it just seems out there. Where in the world did that come from? I can't think of a more horrible time in Israel's history. And I can't think of a time where there's so few people on the planet that actually believe in God. They're all going to be judged. Habakkuk's walking through a time. All of Israel is not Israel. They've turned their back, and God is going to judge them eternally for their sins because they're not walking in faith. Habakkuk and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Ezekiel, there's some people that are walking by faith, but there's only a handful of people. And the world is wicked. Everybody in the world is just doing whatever they want to do. They're just doing evil continually. It's back in the times of Noah. It's back in the time of Judges. It's just wickedness all over the earth. And we get this text. A time's coming real soon where the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. And what an encouragement that has to be to Habakkuk. And brothers and sisters, that can be a great, great encouragement to us. A time's coming when all of God's goodness and all of God's benevolence and all of God's kindness and all of God's justice is going to just be put on full display. It's going to fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. And Habakkuk had to cling to that promise. He didn't see it in his day, if you will. He had to receive that by faith. But here we sit this morning and we've seen the inauguration of that. We've seen that being instituted in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus comes and he fulfills the new covenant. And by his blood, we can be forgiven of our sins. And this gospel message so captivated the early church that they went out from Jerusalem. They went to all places. And God started filling the earth with the knowledge of his glory. It hasn't been consummated yet. We're just experiencing it in part, but it's happening. People are leaving home and leaving homeland, and they're taking the good news to all places. And even now, as we sit here today, the gospel is being proclaimed. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed throughout the world, and the church is being built, and God has already started to usher this great work in one day. We'll see it, and we'll experience it in its fullness. Revelation 7, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Who's singing that? Who's singing salvation belongs to our God and glory to the Lamb that sits upon the throne? Who's singing that? People from every tribe, people from every nation, people from every language, people from every tongue. Brothers and sisters, the day is coming. It's coming soon. It's way sooner than you think. Jeff, it's been 2,600 years since Habakkuk done it. Brothers and sisters, it's coming soon. The day is coming that our God is going to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory as the waters cover the sea. That's a great promise. And that was a great promise for Habakkuk, and that's a great promise for us. And I close this morning. We've looked at the justice of God. We've looked at the purpose, the good purpose that God would fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory through the gospel of his son. And I want to just close by considering the character of God. The character of God in this text. And it's striking. After speaking about voiceless, lifeless idols, people fashion idols out of wood. They fashion it out of metal. They got no life in them. They've got no power in them. And people devote themselves to that. And the very last verse we read in this text, verse 20, just captivated me, and I just thought we'd close. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now listen, it's good to question. Nothing wrong with complaining. Bring your problems to the Lord. Bring them to the Lord. How long, O Lord? He started. How long? Don't you care? This doesn't seem fair. The last word in this section, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be in silence before him. It's just a declaration. It's like almost a doxology. It's almost like a praise. It's almost like but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Praise, worship, he ends up with. I have a saying. It's not a saying. We don't come up with anything. But I know Carol and myself that probably we say more to one another than anything else is just, what do we know to be true? We just, that's our days. Like, we just get in a mess, something going on, and she has to remind me or I have to remind her. If you're in my life group, you hear me ask this question a lot. Okay, we just talked about all the stuff that's going on, but what do we know to be true? We got to come back to what, and this is one of those, what do we know to be true? But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. What did Habakkuk know to be true? What did the prophet Habakkuk, let me just real quick, let's close. What did Habakkuk know to be true? The Lord is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger, and he's abounding in steadfast love. He probably knows what his colleague Jeremiah was saying in that great lament. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never, ever, 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 ever come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness to us. He probably said with King David, great you are, dear Lord, and greatly to praise. Your greatness is unsearchable. He'd probably join King David if he really wants to do a doxology. Just bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What does he do? He forgives all our iniquity. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems our lives from the pit. He crowns us with steadfast love and with mercy. He satisfies us with good so that our strength might be renewed like the eagles. What do you know, Habakkuk? What do you know to be true? And at some point, we just need to come back and in all of our suffering, in all of our pain, in all of our questioning, in all of our answering, in all of our doubting, what do we know to be true? And as we gather here this morning, we know that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, that he might come and redeem those who are under the law. The word became flesh. God became flesh and he dwelt among us. He lived among us. And John and the rest testify, and brothers, sisters, we testify. Oh, we've seen his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and he has come full of grace and truth. And from his fullness, it doesn't end. His fullness doesn't end, and we just receive grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Really, Jeff? That's true, that's true, yes. For if God did not spare his own son, he spared Abraham's son. He stopped Abraham before Abraham's sacrifice, but the Father didn't stop the execution on a Roman cross of his own son, but he gave him up for us all. Will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? We walk through seasons. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why this is happening. We're numb. We can't think. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of what we know to be true. Through Jesus Christ, all our iniquity is forgiven. Through Jesus Christ, we are all healed ultimately. Through Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed from the pit. Through Jesus Christ, we have been crowned with steadfast love and mercy. And through Jesus Christ, God will satisfy your life. I don't care what you're walking through, with good. So that your strength might be renewed like the eagles. The message for Habakkuk in chapter 2, it was a message of justice. The Babylonians got what they deserved. And brothers and sisters, surely by the mercy and grace of God, we don't get what we deserve. But justice was done to the Babylons. Justice in our lives, when we see God do it, it's his time, it's his place. And a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. His ways aren't our ways. We can't figure things out. We might get justice, we might not. In the end, we will. And that's a great comfort to our souls when we go through difficult times. We need to remember why we're here. The purpose of God is filling the earth with the knowledge of his glory. It's not my best life now. It's not me getting everything I want in this life. It's about him, his sending his son, and our lives by his grace, empowered by his spirit, bearing witness to the greatest reality on the planet. That's the gospel of Jesus. That's the glory of God. That's why we're here. And you know what? I think our testimony is most powerful when we suffer by God's grace well. I'm not putting a burden on anybody. We can sit and talk about Jesus when life is well, and it really doesn't. When God sustains people, and you know it's God sustaining them, and they still have a joy and a peace because it's a fruit of their spirit, not a fruit of their circumstances, I want to tell you, lives start screaming and people start asking us for the reason, for the hope that we have. That we need to be reminded that God is filling the earth with the knowledge of his glory, and we need to be reminded that of what do we know to be true. And he has sown. You think, you just memorize scriptures and just set them off. I just can't remember in my mind. What do you know to be true? The cross tells us, the empty tomb tells us, We can't question his love. We can't doubt his love. He sent his own son. He did not spare him. He gave him up for us all. Surely he will give us all things. Faith, brothers and sisters, to the end of Habakkuk, faith, believe. To the end this morning, might God grant us faith to believe. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this word that was difficult to read and understand at the beginning. I hope in some small measure, Lord, as we have had some time looking at your word this morning, it's been an encouragement to a very, very weary soul. Physically weary, emotionally weary, spiritually weary. And it was just a word they needed to hear. Our eyes get off of you and our eyes get on our circumstances and we just forget things. We're faithless. We don't see any hope. And Lord, I pray today that through your words, you've been an encouragement to some of your saints. Be glorified, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.